I pray for unction, fresh mercy from your throne, so that your word will come forth out of me like a stream of living water, that it will bring life, it will bring light, it will bring strength, helping us, Lord, to be doers of your word, causing an internal, eternal work to be wrought in our hearts and our minds as it goes forth in the name of Jesus. And our wills will be more submitted to yours, Holy Spirit. And our minds will be more illuminated with the light that is in your presence. That the Lord, your light will dispel darkness. So we'll see you face to face. And you will transform us, Lord, in your presence. So we stand perfect and complete in all of your will. We welcome you, Lord. Let our emotions be more tempered and more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So that, Lord, our lives will be changed irreversibly unto godliness in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because as your word goes forth, we declare and believe and declare, Lord, that, Lord, yokes are broken, blind eyes are open, deaf ears are unstopped, the lame leap as a heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing for joy in the name of Jesus. I ask that you help me, Lord, to be concise. Help me, Lord, to be precise. Help me not to say my own things. Put your words in my mouth so that I will speak as an oracle of God, bringing forth as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, things both new and old, that glory will go to the name of Jesus and blessings will come unto us, the sons of men. We welcome you. We say, come and have your way. Lord Jesus, we honor you. We reverence you in this place. We say, be magnified. And as you're magnified, lift us up collectively and individually to a higher level of revelation, a higher level of obedience, and a higher level, Lord, of grace in the name of Jesus. Father, we worship you. We honor you. We thank you for mercy to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. This word today is entitled Contentment and Inheritance. Contentment and inheritance. And contentment is happiness and satisfaction at your present state. Very important. And we'll see this go straight into the Bible, Luke chapter 15, verses 25 to 32. And I read Luke 15, 25 to 32. I want us to move quickly. Now the elder son was in the field. We know the story, a little background. The father had two sons. One was an older son, the elder one. One was a younger one, the prodigal son. Prodigal son was rebellious. He wanted his inheritance now. And so he got it, and then he went and frittered it away. Then he, by a series of afflictions and persecutions, he came to his senses. Okay, and then God brought him back, and his father saw him afar off and went to meet him and hugged him and brought him back and gave him a ring of authority, gave him a robe to cover his nakedness because he had lost his righteousness and his inheritance. Okay, and then he brought him back, you know, and then he did a party for him to welcome him home. And the elder son was coming. So we look at 22. Let's start again. 25. Thank you. Now, his elder son was in the field. Okay, let's read it together. Now, his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Next verse. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Shouldn't be talking to servants. Should be talking to your daddy. Okay, next verse. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. Next verse. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out. Thank God for fathers. He didn't go in, but the father came out and entreated him. Can you imagine? We are supposed to be entreating fathers. The father came out and was entreating. That's why Paul says, I beg you. When fathers beg you, your destiny is on the line. And he answering him said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Next verse. But as soon as this thy son, there's an attitude there. This thy son. Omo, don't let's say it. Alright. This thy son. Alright. It was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots. Thou hast killed for him, not just a kid, the fatted calf. Next verse. But as soon, yes. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Next verse. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was, he was what? Dead. Spiritually. But he was alive physically. And is alive again. That's so key. So important. And was lost and is found. Amen. If you look at the story earlier on, the Bible says that when the younger son asked for his inheritance, the father called them both and divided it. So he knew the inheritance was his. He knew it in his head, but didn't have a revelation of it. And if you don't have a revelation of things, it always has a way of showing up. So that lack of a revelation showed him up. This son, the prodigal son had his own problems, but this son had his own special problems. And he was insecure. Insecurity. And was offended, so that this insecurity and self-centeredness blinded him. So he couldn't see the father's heart. He and his father were operating at two different levels. Now, what is the lesson? God loves us very, very much. And he is a God of principles. Yet you must understand that those principles operate most effectively in the context of a relationship. They operate in the context of fellowship with God. So God is not a computer that you just press. You know, Shebe. No. It doesn't work like that. You can't. God has no choice. Who said? You know, you're dealing with God. There are legal technicalities all over the 66 volumes that, you know, God knows. So in the key here is relationship, a growing, thriving relationship based on revelation knowledge is key in our service of God. God doesn't want servants. He wants sons. Amen. And you're going to be a son in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at John 17:3. John 17:3. Thank you. Let's read it together. And this is life eternal. This is why he gave you eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. That means there are many false ones. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The essence of eternal life is to know God. Is to, through fellowship, know him the way he knows us. You are supposed to know him. Bible talks about the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God and be filled with all the fullness of God. We are supposed to know God. Look at 1 John chapter 1 in verse 3. Let's read it together. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son Jesus Christ. So there is a fellowship. When you're interacting with spiritual fathers, when you're interacting with God, there is fellowship. The fathers help you to know God. Then God helps you to see who the fathers really are. Then you know, it's a cycle. It works like you. So really, you're not relating to spiritual fathers in the natural alone. You must relate to them in the natural as well as in the spiritual. You need to have a revelation of them. You need to have an understanding of them. And that's how you can really walk effectively. So we see that this son had the head knowledge that the inheritance was his, but he had no heart knowledge that it was his. And the heart knowledge, the absence of the heart knowledge, made him open to satanic oppression. And the ability, he was not able to enjoy that inheritance that was actually his. May God allow us to enjoy our inheritance in Jesus' name. Okay, all right. So we see this, and a good example is the seven sons of Sceva. I mean, they saw Paul, casting out demons in the name of Jesus. There were special miracles. Bible says special miracles were wrought in Acts chapter. We won't turn there because of time, but Acts 19 from verse 11, you can look at it. And there were many miracles, and they were like carried on in the flow. It's like I cast you out in the name of Paul. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. He said it. He used the technical thing. He used the name. And the demon turned around and said, what are you talking about? Even I have fellowship with Paul. In that he has dealt with me many times. I have fellowship with Jesus. He spoiled me and locked me up in hell. What are you that are talking? And the Bible says that the demons overcame. He was supposed to overcome in the name, but instead he was overcome. They were overcome. So it's important to back up our walk with God, not just with service. God wants us to grow up. Our fathers want us to grow up so that they can have fellowship with us. Now, it's important to say that revelation knowledge is the knowledge that comes from God directly to your spirit. Okay, it comes and then it passes to your mind and it's interpreted. So it's not knowledge from your senses as opposed to sense knowledge, which is what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you touch, what you feel, what you understand, which is what is in your mind. It is beyond that. It is light that comes from God many times through His Word into your spirit. And that is a light. The Bible talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's just look at it. In the early part. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians. Let's read it. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined where? Where? In our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So you're supposed to be looking at the face of Jesus Christ, not the hand of Jesus Christ. Amen. The face of Jesus Christ. And in that place, God gives you light for every single area of your life. Nothing is too small. We are supposed to be operating on revelation knowledge, not on sense knowledge. And if we don't walk in revelation knowledge, then we leave ourselves open. God's going to help us to shut the back door in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll leave no doors open in Jesus' name. Now, this knowledge, like Pastor has taught us so many times, it is continuous. That is, it never ends. You never outgrow revelation. It continues. And it is progressive. So one thing is built on another, and next one is built on another. So it's sequential. It is progressive. So revelation is continuous and progressive. And is leading us to his expected end, the purpose that he has in mind. It is our responsibility to ensure that revelation continues to flow in our lives. Amen. Don't go quiet on me. Amen.
Amen.
Right. You're walking in revelation on you, okay? All right? So it is the will of God for us to continue to have revelation flow in our lives. Amen. And you must understand, therefore, that, you know, that is our responsibility. Amen. Now, you know, all relationships are spiritual. Bible says that we should know no man after the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16. You can check that later on. Bible says we know no man. Even Jesus. Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And he said, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are this prophet. Some say you are that prophet. Who do you, personal? What do you? Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. He had revelation. And Jesus said, upon this rock will I build my church. We know it. And shall not prevail. So it means that if you're not building on revelation, the gates can prevail. The gates will not prevail against us in Jesus' name. Because we walk in revelation, okay? But it's important to point that out. So in all our relationships, those our relationship with spiritual authority, pastor, mommy, you must walk by revelation and naturally. That's that I'm talking about with spiritual oversight now. Between husband and wife, both natural and spiritual. Amen.
Amen.
It's not just natural. Natural and spiritual. Between mother and child. Natural and spiritual. You must know who your children are in the spirit. Amen. Don't call him Omolori Burukunye. That's not who he is in the spirit. Break the power over him. Pray in tongues. Call him who he is in the spirit. And you change the configuration over his life. And you receive the one that God has given you.
Amen.
Husbands, if you don't know who your wife is in the spirit, you'll be looking. I know we don't look in this church in Jesus' name. Amen. But we need to have a revelation. If you don't know what you have, the grass will always be greener on the other side. It will always be, and you will never be content. You will never, even some people that when they say that this man is doing this, you say, with that kind of his wife, an enemy has done this. It's not natural. It's a lack of revelation. Marriage is not for unspiritual people. You need to be very spiritual to be married. Successfully, in God's will and God's plan. Amen. So the gates of hell don't prevail. So it's important. You need to know oversight in the spirit realm. Know who they really are. And don't see them, the way you see them. Always superimpose that divine picture. Always remind yourself of the divine picture. That's how Pastor Boyega said last week. That 2,000 quiz must not become 1,999. This, the only way is by keep reminding yourself and keep growing in revelation. So you get more light. You get more insight about who they are. The same thing with your children. The same thing with your boss in the office. Your walk is spiritual. You don't know. Our walk is spiritual. Through your work, Bible talks about you will get the reward of the inheritance. You are serving man, but you are serving man as unto the Lord. So you're really, really serving God. So don't justify what you're doing because he did that and she said that. You're supposed to respond in the fear of God. May God help us. Amen. We are going to do it in Jesus' name. But this is what God wants us to know. The older brother had a problem. He had very little fellowship with God. Very little fellowship with his father. God was not even in the picture. So really, he was obeying, but he didn't submit. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13, 17. Let's read it together. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself. And what? It means they're not the same. And my mommy is an English specialist. And is a conjunction. It means that there are two things linked together. You can obey and not submit. But you cannot submit without obeying. The Bible says, obey and submit. Submission is with your mind. Is the thoughts in your mind. Are you obeying and yet you are holding your own thoughts? Oh, I wish we did it the other way. You need to put it down. Kill it. You have to. Otherwise, you will not be submitting. Sarah had to do that. So, I don't think we should do this. We did it. But God protected her. When Abraham said that she's my sister, which was a partial truth, you know, she submitted. Bible says submitted, calling him Lord. And knows many times we submit in the fear, in fact, always. Bible says submitting to one another in the fear of God. Ephesians 5:21. So we submit in the fear of God. And it may not make sense to the natural mind, but when you do that, it is God who is on the spot. It is God who is now responsible for you and I. It is God who now rises and says, Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. How will he allow anything happen when you have submitted in the fear of him? He will not allow it. Amen. So it's important, though, that we submit. And when we do not submit, like Pastor Buga was teaching us last week, you know, when you don't submit to an authority over you, you have a distorted picture. Can you imagine Jews, children of God, children of Abraham, and yet the picture in their mind was from the devil? Don't think we're better. Don't say, those Jews are very bad. Are you sure that every picture in your mind is a revelation picture from the throne of God? Very important. Every area you must submit it to God. Every area. There is no pocket that you keep away. Hello. No pocket. Every nook, every cranny, bring it out and leave it with God. He is well able to take care of it. And you don't have the wisdom to deal with it. He has the wisdom. And he will do it in his own time. Time and his own way. Amen. All right. So it's important for us to see. You can also see the effect of this, you know, in the life of Gehazi and Elisha. You could see that, you know, when Elisha sent Gehazi to go. Let's look at that story. 2 Kings 4:29. Pastor Guria mentioned it, touched on last week. But there's something I just wanted to show you. You know, that is important, you know. And he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. And if thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not. And again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. Pastor Guga has taught that. Let's go next verse. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, I'm not going with that staff. I'm staying with you. All right? As the soul liveth, I will not leave. And he arose and followed her. Okay, next verse. And Gehazi passed on before them. So they were coming behind Gehazi. And he got there before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither what? Voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, the child is not awaked. Why didn't it work? Gehazi wasn't connected to Elisha. Naturally, he was serving him. But spiritually, he was disconnected. The things he was doing in the background, they showed a lack of fear of God. So he was serving man, but guess what? He was serving God. And here was a situation where God had to help him serve Elisha effectively. You know, God helps us to serve effectively. It is God that helps us to serve. Sometimes you get in a place of judgment and you don't know what to do. And you say, God, please. Anoint not mommy, father, mercy, oh. And all of a sudden, a thought will just drop into your mind. Why don't you do this? Bingo. How did I think about that before? It's by calling on God. It's mercy. Amen. So it's not just natural. So here we could see that because of the disconnect, there was no flow of the power. All right. And then next verse.
And when Elisha came to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon the bed. No, Gehazi even tried to use spiritual language. He said, child is not awaked. But now he's dead and laid on his bed. Next verse. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain. Notice he kept Gehazi out. That means he noted it. And prayed unto the Lord. Relationship. And I've seen that happen in life for so many times. Hey, mommy will just shut the door. Say, God, with tears, not on my watch. God, this cannot happen, not on my watch. Not on my watch. Facing the wall, crying, praying. And after we've prayed, she'll get up, pick up the phone. Wally, how is he? He's fine now. He's fine now. Fathers, shut the door and pray. Brethren, you need to have a relationship with God. It's important to have a relationship with God. This was a difficult situation because Gehazi had already gone and it didn't work. The man shut the door. What are you talking about? There's no formula here. He's my friend. I will talk to him. And he shut the door. It's just the two of us. Just the two of us. All right, next verse. I'm trying to say, his relationship. And his relationship. I'm trying to wake you up. His relationship. All right, okay. And he went up and did what? Lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands and he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. What are you talking? He's my friend. And that was a bleed. Next verse. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched. What was he doing? Well, just walking to and fro. No, he was what? Praying. He was talking to his friend. And he went up and stretched over and the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes and said, Gehazi, open your door, Gehazi, call the Shunammite. Shunammite, your son. Just part of a day's work. Amen. That's what is happening with the spirit without measure. Amen. And and God is going to do that for us in Jesus' name. Greater works than these shall we do. Amen. That was the glory of the former house. And we are trusting the glory of the latter house to come upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So we see the importance of relationship. That we cannot find fulfillment in God by service alone. You end up insecure, self-centered, and unprofitable. Okay. Now, what is important to say here? How then do we find fulfillment? Let me just say this. No, God has already hinted us that, we cannot find fulfillment by serving, but just ordinary service alone. Look at Luke 17, 7 to 10. Thank you. Let's read it together. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, we say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat. Next verse. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird myself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Next verse. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, meaning I think not. Next verse. So likewise, let's read it now. So likewise, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are. It was the negative confession. We are, in scripture, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. God doesn't want us to stop our duty. That's what he's telling us. He's saying that when you have gone and done duty outside, you have not done anything. You are not profitable yet. If you are just obeying instruction, you are not profitable. There is a place beyond instruction. A place where you begin to out of fellowship, see and perceive and receive and discern what is the mind and the heart of the Father and the fathers. And when that is the place where you now begin to become profitable. Just the beginning. Just the beginning. So God is already telling us that. No, and when I saw it, I said, this is very wicked. Someone that has been working all day. But fellowship, God has the priority God places on fellowship. Don't tell me you are tired. Tired. Yeah, sleep 1 or 2 hours and then talk to me. It's the truth, brethren. Tired, can't read your Bible. Tired, you can't pray. Tired, you didn't do this. Tired, you didn't check this. So God will do all those responsibilities for you because you are tired. Lord, have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Brethren, we are supernatural beings. And we live a natural life supernaturally. We're supposed to live our lives supernaturally. So really, we're supposed to know how to use our time, redeem the time, and make time for God. In fact, God is the center of our lives. And everything else revolves around Him. You don't shock God in one corner or make God the afterthought. You set a frame, set a structure. On Mondays is what I do. On Tuesdays is what I do. Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sunday. It's set. When you wake up in the morning, that's the first thing I'm going to do. And that's what I'm looking to do. Now, of course, I have natural responsibilities. But once I'm free, I'm not free. I go back to the plan. It's very important. So that you can build God into your life. And live our lives around God. Amen. Right, just better I should drop that. Okay, now, Pastor, thank you so much, sir. Now, what is our inheritance? What's Pastor? What is our inheritance? John 3:34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Our inheritance is the Spirit without measure. The same double portion of Spirit that came on Christ. You know, Elisha had a double portion. Then Jesus had a double of that portion. Okay, so that Spirit without measure is, you can't, without measure means without measure. You can't quantify it. Is immeasurable. Okay? Straight from the throne. Woof, a download. That's without measure. Came upon Jesus when he was baptized and he came out. That is our inheritance. Amen. And it is important to understand that. Okay? Because that's what let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Verses 1 to 3. That's our inheritance. Okay? And because it's wanted to set that. 1 John 3. Let's read it together. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. It means they don't know us by revelation. They just look at us naturally. Okay? Next verse. Beloved, now are we. Is it later? Is it tomorrow? Is it 3 hours from now? Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall wear in us, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he. What's the Bible saying here? He's saying that there is a you on the outside and there is a Christ in you on the inside. Pastor Boyega was talking about that in Colossians 1:27 this morning and 27,
and 28, where it was saying that, you know, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So that character of Christ is what he's talking about here, that God wants us to have that character built inside of us. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, somewhere there. Yes, let's read it together. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Next verse. And to experiential knowing. By practice and experience, you experience and know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's our inheritance. The ticket to have the fullness is the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 verse 10, where it says that you become perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. So God wants to settle you and I. Amen. You understand that? I'm settled us into the fullness of Christ. And that is now what allows us to have the Spirit without measure. Now, like the disciples, we enjoyed the borrowed anointing. So it's something you get by being in connection with those who already inherited it. Amen. Like Elisha inherited it, and Elijah inherited it and gave Elisha, you know, hand over to Elisha. Okay. And Gehazi was supposed to be in line, but he wasn't faithful. The Lord Jesus, you know, was as an example. He had that anointing, and it went on the disciples. Same anointing, okay, but in a limited measure, limited in scope. That's why it's borrowed. Now, as you stay faithful, then we are now able to inherit the full measure. Amen. And no, we call it double glory, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ said, you know, that no, the works that he does shall we do, and greater works. So, you know, greater, of course, because we're more, greater in number, and then greater in scope. We look at the miracles, and we see that you know, there were physical miracles, you know, there were environmental miracles, you know, but there were miracles, like intellectual miracles, that God has reserved for us in this end time. Amen. Okay, so when he's talking about double, he's talking about the intellectual and the physical. Double. It's going to be your portion in Jesus' name. Yeah, it will not pass us by in Jesus' name. This is what we're living for. All right? This is what will restore the years. Amen. Everything the caterpillar has taken, in an instant, you will have it back. But we must be faithful. Right? And that's where we're talking about having the mind of Christ. The pastor taught us the redemption of the brain. You know, incredible computational skills. You know, incredible language learning skills. Incredible musical ability. These are things, they are realities. You know, we keep having revelation of our inheritance. That revelation is key. Look at first. Thank you for the incredible photographic memory, incredible computational skills, incredible musical skills, incredible artistic skills, and language learning skills. This is our inheritance. Now go back to 1 John 3, verse 3. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor reminded me and told me this is important. Say this. And every man that had this hope in him does what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is the hope that motivates us to continue to pursue godliness. Amen. It's very important. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. We're talking about contentment and our inheritance. Very important. Okay, let's read it together. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not, or does not submit. Again, you see this obeying and not submitting thing. Okay? To the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and to the doctrine, which is according to godliness. If people do not consent to this doctrine, next verse. You are starting from far away. Okay, let's read it. He is proud, knowing nothing. It's important to know it, though. There are people that don't agree with godliness being. All right? He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Next verse. Perverse disputes of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is from such, do what? Don't go to their church. That's what meaning. Don't listen to their message. Don't click on it on the internet. Yes. He's telling you to withdraw yourself. How else is he going to say it's plain? It's black and white. Withdraw yourself. We should be careful. Next verse. But godliness with content. Again, there are two things. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It means that godliness needs contentment to be balanced. How are you content? You are content with God in you, as you see the revelation of your inheritance, and you are seeing it, it's becoming clearer, and you are getting closer. You can see it in your life. You can see yourself becoming more like Christ. You can see the length and the breadth in a measure. You can see the depth and the height in a measure. You see yourself changing in a measure. You see your understanding of the inheritance improving by revelation. You know you are getting closer. That now allows us to be able to be content with food and raiment. Next verse. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Even Yorubas know that. Okay, next verse. And there are many proverbs. I won't quote any. Okay, all right. And having food and raiment, let us be there with. Let us be there with. Serious. When you are seeing the hope and your joy is coming from the hope that is being fulfilled in you, it is easy to be content. It's the revelation of the hope and the experience of the hope progressively that keeps you content. Amen. If we don't have that revelation, then it opens you up. God forbid, we will not be opened up in Jesus' name. Alright? So it's important. But you know, you may not really want to be really covetous, but just a lack of revelation, then is a hindrance. Because you're not walking in darkness. And in darkness, you stumble. When you're not supposed to. We will not stumble in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? So it's important. You know, godliness with contentment is great gain. The way I understand it, you know, the picture that God gave me is that, you know, without contentment, you'll be going back and forth. You'll be doing, you know, two steps forward, three steps back. Two steps forward. And a good example is Peter. When Peter was an apostle, raising the dead, healing the sick, Paul was running around putting people in prison. Yes, sir. The same Paul grew up, became an apostle, and was correcting Peter and Barnabas publicly because Peter was going back and forth. Insecurity. Bible says Peter was afraid. So these things are it's important to just to understand the fact that, you know, if you're not rooted, what roots you is revelation. It's revelation that roots you. Security, contempt, they're all the same. They all bring fear, agitation, worry. Supposing. And this is what they did. And that's what they did. God is healing our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how do we find fulfillment? How do you find that contentment in God? Look at Philippians 2:2. Because we're talking about following after godliness. Letting godliness be the goal. Okay, and that's very important. The Bible says, glory not in your, let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the strong man glory in his strength. And let not the rich man glory in his, but let him that glorieth in this, that he what? Understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. That's where our joy is supposed to be. That's where our joy is supposed to come from. But then we now add contentment to it. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. It says, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, and of one accord, and of one mind. Fulfillment, contentment. It comes from the same love, one accord, and of one mind. Now, what does this mean? It means that fulfillment comes out of a relationship. Out of a revelation through a relationship with God. Amen? And a relationship with oversight. All right? And that relationship is progressive. And you have a revelation of the same love. The same love there also speaks of Passover, because right there you see three levels. Everybody says the same love, one accord, and one mind. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. The same love. Anna and Simeon didn't know each other. They were walking independent, but they had their wills aligned to the will of God. Same love for God, but working independent. And through them, God brought the Christ. Passover. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. When they were in the upper room, they were in what? One accord. Pentecost. Tabernacles. Okay, don't worry. I've just mentioned it. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. No. Before that, 2:4. 2:4. Acts. Acts chapter 2. I think, verse 1. 2:1. 2:1. Thank you. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in
one accord.
Accord. So, Pentecost is accord. Now, next one, let's go back to Philippians 2 now. Thank you. Philippians 2:2. Thank you. Now, let's move to verse 5. Let this mind be in you. So you see that progression. The same love, one accord, and the same mind. The prerequisite for the Passover was the same love. The prerequisite for the earnest of our inheritance was one accord. The prerequisite for Tabernacles is the same mind. Same mind. Seeing what the Bible calls seeing eye to eye. Face to face. Amen. Alright. And you know, it's I just want to say this. If you look at Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 9 to 10, struck me this about Nigeria and about us. Let's read it together. It speaks about you and I. For then, when is that then? Now. For then will I turn to the people a pure language. What's that language? Tongues. Speaking in tongues. Amen. It's not a Bible. It's tongues. All right. A pure language that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Next verse. From beyond the rivers of my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. That is talking about you and I. Amen. That's you and I. As we continue to, you know, in that same language, that pure language, serving him with one concern, we will arise from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia and we will bring ourselves and our seed as an offering unto the Lord. Amen. We are the breaker company. Amen. Part of that breaker company. Amen. So that's just saying that to encourage you and letting you know that you're on the right path. Amen. Okay. Right. So, as you said, heart fellowship is what gives us revelation, insight of God's plan. And then we then submit to that plan. Look at Colossians 1, verses 9 to 11. Colossians 1. You were showing that earlier on. Verse 9. Yes. Right. Now, notice that the Colossians were Christians already. Okay. Albeit they had issues that God was trying to deal with. All right. And so, this is Paul talking. And he says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." It's revelation. Knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And when you know that will, look at the next verse. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." This is when you begin to become profitable. That's the will of God for us. So that's when you now start becoming pleasing. When you know the will, you're not thinking, you're not supposing, you know it. That's why many times, you know, I look at Pastor Mommy. My mommy is not sure. She will wait, pray, not do anything. Mommy, time, man. We have to wait for God. No, we don't do anything. We don't just do just for doing sake. Everything, we must know the will of God about every single thing in school. We don't follow the crowd. We don't do things because, like one person said, "I've never had it before, but anybody did that." We are life force. That's why. This is the truth. We don't follow people. We don't follow the crowd. We don't. On the contrary, people are following us by the grace of God. Amen. That's the truth. Because we are walking according to a divine pattern. We're not walking according to a physical pattern. It's not as if we saw something somewhere and then we want to dub it. No. We receive direct from the throne room. And we're not saying we're the only ones by His grace. If there's anybody else receiving, praise God. Amen. No, that's the will of God. But the key is that we must have the knowledge of His will. So we might walk worthy unto all pleasing. And then in that physical work you're doing, guess what? You will become fruitful in that good work. In the sense that not only will you do the work, it will now be added to you spiritually. You'll be fruitful in the work. So it's not that physical work. Because you've submitted it to God. And God can then use that work. Even your academics. Everything, you can submit it to God. And let God use it. And as you are doing the work will be adding to you spiritually. Because you will be employing spiritual means, spiritual motives, spiritual method to make progress in it. Amen. So when God is going to judge you, He will add that work as part of your reward. Brethren, you are looking as if I'm... God is going to judge us by three things. You know, it's good to all the attend foundational class. I remember these lessons way back. Pastor, three things God is judging. Your motive. Why are you doing what you're doing? To please God is the highest motive. But we don't start there. The key is know your motive. Now, don't lie to yourself. Be honest. This is my motive. Then change it to become the motive that God wants. Amen. Next thing, method. Are you doing it by your arm or flesh? Or are you doing it? Bible says cursed is the man. I don't like cursed. Let's leave cursed. Okay. All right. But Jeremiah 17 is there. Who makes strength his arm? No, don't make flesh your arm. Okay? So method is it by the Spirit? Is it by the Spirit? Is it backed by spiritual power? Amen. And then the means. Is it in line with the Word of God? It's very important. So that you can get a reward for training your children. Yes. You get it because you do it by the Spirit, by the Word, with the proper motive for God inside. Not so much as, they bear my name. That's good. But above that, they are children of God. I'm giving an account to God. That is my underlying motive. So I rise up to that level. We are doing the same thing, but are we going to get the same reward? It's revelation. How much revelation are you putting into what you're doing? If you're putting revelation into it, then it will count. Every single thing you do will count in the kingdom. We will not lose our reward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So look at what the Bible says. It says, walk word of the Lord, being fruitful in every world, and increasing knowledge of God. Through your walk, you'll be getting revelation. You'll be seeing the application of biblical principles in your work. That's the knowledge of witty invention already, right there. Right there. God will be giving you light, insight, because you brought Him into it. You don't just want to do it for doing sake. You want to do it to please Him. You want Him to get glory from what you're doing. So because of that, it's not just so that I can put, how do they say, put body and soul together. No. No, let's live for the highest calling. Amen. 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 Man shall not live by bread alone. Tell your neighbor, live for the highest calling. That's the essence of the message. No, because if you don't have revelation, you won't know what you have. It will be yours, but yet you won't be able to tap into it. What's the point in that? There's no point. That's not be our portion in Jesus' name. Now look at the next verse. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with. When you have revelation, guess what? The wisdom of God and the power of God will align behind you. You are unstoppable in that thing. Amen. And that is one of the secrets I have learned from working with mommy in Life Force. Is the will. Just get the will. If you get the will, you get it right. And you pray it through. Nothing can stop you. Men will bow. Circumstances will bow. And the will of God will prevail. That's the scripture. Strength will come. When you don't have strength, God will raise up people that will say, don't worry. Leave that one with me, sir. Is it not me that said I will do it for you? He will give men for your life. Men of strength. Men of stature. Yes, they will arise. If you are walking in the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So the key is to align. We pray for God. God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. To do what? It's His will. It has to be to do His will. It has to be with a pure motive. Otherwise, wherefore is there a price in the hand of the fool to get wisdom? Seeing he has no heart. It means he has not prepared his heart to do the will of God. So why is he asking for? You understand it? Amen? When we have found fulfillment in God, and find, we'll be content with our lot. You'll be content with your level of spirituality. And you won't pretend to be something you are not. Amen. And you will know your real level. Brethren, one thing that disturbs all of us, may God help us know our true level. And not claim to be somebody we are not. Or to be at a standard that we are not. Brethren, we must not live by appearance. You must not live by appearance. In the world, they do it so. Even in the church, Ephesi. Everything is glitter. Only in Kombo. We will see. Bible says that fire will judge every man's work of what sort it is. And then will every man have praise in himself. We will see. So it's important to make sure that, if you have revelation, so you can know where you really stand. And not claim to be what you are not. The level here. You don't go and do Sons of Sceva style. I want Paul Lonche here. Let's leave them there. So contentment is very important, okay? So that you content with the level of spirituality, content with your children. Amen. Not wishing some other people who are your children. Yeah, well, there's a point in that you can tell children, look, I mean, you can take this godly trait in this person and add it to yourself. The trait is universal. The trait is godliness. It is Christ-like. It's not that person. And I know children don't like it when you compare. But sometimes comparisons are inevitable. It's godliness and ungodliness. So it's inevitable. So we're not talking about the person per se. We're talking about the Christ in that person. Is what we're asking you to emulate. Amen. All right. Be content with your spouse. And not hoping and thinking, wake up one day, I hope she changes. Oh. Know by revelation who she is. And be telling her, this is who you are. This is who you are. Amen. Revelation about your job, finances, everything. So the first thing is contentment comes from that revelation, and the progressive experience of that, our inheritance, gives us contentment. Okay? And then, of course, with that contentment comes strength to move upward in every area. Brethren, if we don't start with God and say, this is where I am, Bible says, we see. So just I say, well, because you see, I came for the blind, not for the ones that see. Very important. Don't say you see. Ah, if you're not sure, Lord, thou knowest. Or, Lord, help thou my unbelief. You can't go wrong. When the prophet asked when the Lord asked the prophet, the son of man, shall his bones live again? Ah, Lord, you know. It's a political answer. you know all things. Of course he knows. And it's not a trick question, really. But God wants us to know that you are humble and you are staying in your place. Who are you bragging to? Before you prayed, he knows what's in your heart. When you are in the secret of your room, he knows what you are doing. Why are you putting up appearances? There is no need. Be content. Know your level and be content. Then when you know your level, then you can grow up. Amen. Strength to move upward will come. Amen. It will follow knowing where you really are. Amen. Same thing financially. Just, Lord, help me. This is where I am. And God helps to move upward. Rather than, let me do this. I can't afford it to, but let me just do it. So that they won't say, Moshe Bolaton, let me just do it. You know? So that people will know. One more kini. Shalom more. Shalom ba. Who are you proving? You know, proving a point is a chip on your shoulder. Stop proving a point. There's no need to prove anything to anyone. Amen. If there's anything, prove it to God. I love you. Amen. All right. We give God the praise. Amen. When we are content, we can sincerely rejoice with others. Amen. You know, it's very difficult. You know, it's a fundamental thing. You must have it. Otherwise, you know, there'll be that could they deserve it. Olorun ti fun owo joko si be oni ko deserve. May God have mercy on us. Ah, brethren, God will help us in Jesus' name. Be content. When you are content with your state and you know your spirituality, if you want to move up, increase your dedication. Increase your commitment to prayer. Increase your study of the word. Increase your obedience to God. That one is universal. You can do that anytime. And then that one will now entitle you to have more in the physical realm. Amen. But the motive is to become more like Jesus. It's not to get the money in the first place. God sees our hearts, so you can't deceive God. You can fool man sometimes. Even man, you can't fool them all the time. But God, you can't fool him at all. With the fraud, shows himself fraud. So it's better to be pure. We'll be pure in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And finally, you know, when we are content, we can look out for others. It's so important. No, there in Philippians, it says, let not every man look not unto his own things, but the things of others. You know, if we're so self-absorbed, you can't see opportunities for this person, that person. And again, I must say, Pastor and Mommy, the way out of a lack. In fact, I just look and say, it doesn't make sense. It can only make sense by faith and obedience to God. It's very important that everything you do, you can look out for others. That compassion is there. Now, why is contentment important? Look at Hebrews 13, 5 to 7. So we're going to round up. Right? 13, 5 to 7. Thank you for that. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So what's he talking about? He's saying that contentment is the revelation, understanding that God is with me. That's it. God is with me. Look at the next verse. So that we may boldly... And you're not saying it boldly now. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my... I shall not... What man shall do unto me? Very important. God is with me. This situation, we are here together. So you can talk to him. He will encourage you. You will hear his voice. He will talk to you. That's more than all the money in the world. It's more than all the money in the world. The fact that God is with me. The one that made the universe. Eh? The one that sits upon above the circle of the earth. The one that is able to do all things unto whom nothing shall be called impossible. So if he's allowing this, he has a plan. And that is what keeps you. Why did Abraham sacrifice his son? He didn't ask a question. He said, Lord, are you sure? God said, thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. Abraham knew. There was no question that he was talking about. And Abraham took him. He wanted to obey it. He didn't tell anybody who would stop him. Told the servants. And when he went to the... When 3 days, he was there praying. And when he got to the place, he said, well, he told the servants, me and the son, we are going yonder to worship. Fellowship. We are going yonder to worship him. And we are both coming back. How did he know that? Presence. It's not imagining, God is with me. I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not be afraid. What am I going to be afraid about? He's my light. He enlightens my darkness. So I can see the way he sees. The Bible says, a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. And the boldness of his face shall be changed. When you have insight from God, there's no room for fear. There's no place for it. There's no place for it. You can see what God is doing. Of course, there may be circumstances, you know, around you. But, you know, the light that God gives and the strength and power that comes that light is able to take you through. Amen. And that's how Abraham did it. By the light of revelation. The Bible says he received his son back in a figure. Who showed him the figure? He didn't conjure up an image. God gave him the light. His friend. Who told David, build me a house? Or who put the thought in David's heart? Maybe, don't you think that you should build him a house? It's God at my right hand. Very important. And then, when you know, God is the one that sets the exam. He will give you the things you need to pass. And then when you pass, he will clap. Yay, my son passed. He will help you, remind you, show you, and then he will rejoice over you. Give God a clap offering. Give God a clap offering. Brethren, what we are going through, we are well able. I said we are well able. Because why? Because you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Amen. All right, and verse 7, Hebrews 13. Remember them which have the rule over you. Remember, that is in your mind, you put them together. Again, remember.
remember. Put the members back. Put them the way God put them. See them the way God sees them. Amen. So your relationship with God, you know, not affects your relationship with oversight. You remember them who have spoken unto you the word of God. And when you remember them, then you'll be able to see their faith in operation, and then you can follow, considering the end of their conversation. Amen. So this is extremely important. You cannot follow when you have fears. So contentment is the fruit of submission to God and fellowship with God and oversight. Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. Remember your leaders and superiors in authority, for it was they who brought to you the word of... Incidentally, it's the word of God that grows you up. Amen. It's the word of God that is the basis for the revelation that you receive. It's the light in the face of Jesus Christ, who is the word. In the beginning was the
word.
Okay, so we know. All right. Observe attentively and consider their manner of living, the outcome of their well-spent lives, and imitate their faith, their conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ, and their leaning on the entire human personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. That's amplified. You've got a super hand. Amen. That is amplified. Amen. Bottom line, your entire personality will change by the power, the wisdom, and the goodness of God. If you see those in authority over you the way you're supposed to see them, and you follow. That's what he's saying there. Okay? And this struck me about Jesus. You know, John 17, verse 10. And we take it to the prodigal son. Let's read it. And all mine are thine. And thine are, and I am glorified in them. Brethren, are all yours God's? That's why the prodigal son didn't know all the father has is thine. The father was telling him, all mine are thine. The elder brother, all mine are thine. He didn't know all mine are thine because, you know, he was looking out for himself. So it's important you submit wholehearted everything God gave us. Put it all together. Like mommy said many years ago, she's still saying it, if you remember. Because I say now, you remember, when she got married to pastor, what did she do? She put in her mind, sold on everything that she had. How many people remember that? She says it every time. All right? Put sold. She put sold and that is for God. This for God. This for God. Don't hold on to anything. Don't hold on to anything. All mine are thine. And then, with confidence, you can say, thine are mine. Amen. That's where God. And if you look at all the other fathers, you know, you look at Paul, you would see, I know how to be abased and abound. You look at Samuel, you know, Samuel, when the children of Israel asked for a king, Samuel told them, he said, let God judge this day. I have coveted no man's silver. It's very important. What's he saying? Look at Acts 20, where Apostle Paul was telling them. He said, I mean, you can see me. I have declared unto you the whole council. You can't find nothing in me. Why? Because leaders in the church have to have contentment. The criterion, one of the criteria for leadership, if a man is at the office of bishop, is not covetous. Sadly, people have discarded that criterion. It's not part of it. We don't use it again. It's outdated. So, it's the person with the biggest offering. And if it's covetous or not covetous, it doesn't matter. Then God will help him. And then it's just do what they like. All right? But you know, that's the key. Why? Because in that place, whatever is on top flows down. So even if people under them were not covetous before, by being under their authority and listening to them, guess what? They become covetous.
is a spirit, and it passes down to them. Amen. All right. The same principle that works from the anointing oil that falls from the head upon Aaron's head. The same thing works in the negative. So that's why we should be careful who we listen to and who we put ourselves under. It's very important. Have to be very important. And that's why the Bible says that, mommy says this, teachers will have the greater condemnation. Because it's not just what you say. It's how you live. It's what's flowing out. So we should not be in a hurry to say, I want to teach. Naturally, I know a few things. You're not ready. Thank you. If you're in a hurry, you're not ready. Bible says, not a novice. You must do it. When you have done it, then that's the qualification to teach it. Okay? So that you can teach as a pure chalice. Amen. Alright. Next, with contentment, you are in a better position to tap into God's compassion and demonstrate it to others because you are in tune with Him. We spoke about David earlier on 2 Samuel 7. You can go and check that. Okay. It was David, through fellowship with God, picked by revelation that God wanted him to build him a house. And God said, David, how did you know that? But he picked it. He touched on a vein in God. And that was the place that God said, now I will bless you. And I will build you a house. Amen. It's very important. So when you're content, then your heart is open. And you can feel what God is feeling. Amen. About people, about you, and you can respond accordingly. All right? And of course, the negative side of this is, if we don't deal with these fears and inconsistencies, they can lead us to offense. God forbid that we'll be offended in Jesus' name. Amen. John the Baptist, the Bible says, in Luke 17, it says that there were many miracles that were done. Look at verse 17 to 23. John 7:17. Luke 17:17. Quickly, thank you. Luke 17:17. Thank you. Okay, 18. No, I got my where it says that he sent two disciples to ask him that are you he that is to come, or should we look for another? Okay, but we can get the scripture later. But the point I'm trying to make is this, that Jesus was doing miracles and John was aware. Then that was evidence, not revelation, right, real-time evidence. And then John still sent two disciples to go and ask, are thou he to come, or should we look for another? Then when he went to ask, Jesus answered them immediately. He healed the sick, he raised, cast out devils, he did all those works, and all that. After 1 hour, an hour or so, he now said, go back and tell John again, that the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and blessed is he that will not be offended in me. So sometimes, if you're not careful, you can see truth live. Sometimes truth in the word. Sometimes live truth. Luke 7, okay. Right. Okay, well, I've already told you the story. All right, so 7:18, you can catch up on that later. But the point is this, that he said that, he saw the evidence and still refused to agree. That was his will. He refused to submit. So it's important to submit. Don't just serve. Submit. The picture, John had a picture in his mind that, this is my ministry, I can't give it up. He said it all, that I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes. He's greater than me. He said all the right words. But when it came to submitting his own plan, his own agenda, he couldn't give it up. And even when it was costing him and he could retrace his steps, he still didn't retrace his steps. And that's why it's important. Don't give Satan room.
Because that deceives you. And then, of course, we know he died prematurely. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. And look at who is a good example of contentment in the Bible. Ruth. Look at Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. Yes, this is Naomi talking. And she said, let's read it together. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Yeah, I told the two of them, I don't have any children. If I have a husband today, is he going to, if I born the children today, how many years is it to grow up? You would have, you know, like a very gloomy picture. But it was natural. It wasn't revelation. Ruth had revelation. Amen. So when Orpah was serving, but she wasn't serving God, serving Naomi by God's help. She was serving Naomi naturally. And that will only go so far. After a while, the devil will make an argument that will tell you this is not worth it. How your whole life going down the drain doesn't make any sense. That was the picture she painted. Your lives are going to go down the drain. It's enough that boys have died. But should you lose your lives? Go. There are other opportunities. Go. Look at what Ruth's response was. Verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Next verse. And then she took it the extra mile. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee. When you make that kind of commitment, you shut Satan up. You shut sense knowledge up. You shut every back door. And you burn every bridge. You are on the road to destiny. Did she lose? But she was prepared to follow God. She was following God through Naomi. And we see it because when things were beginning to look up, she still stayed submitted to Naomi. So the motive was pure. The motive was for inheritance. The spirit without measure. And God, I mean, in her own case, that wasn't what that was, I know, but ours is spirit without measure. But look at it. In her own case, God put her a Moabite into the lineage of Jesus Christ. That's what you get from burning your bridge. Don't let Satan tell you it doesn't pay. What doesn't pay? It pays. It pays. You get your inheritance. Amen. Now, so how do we get it? We know these things, but we say them again with emphasis so we can go over it and make sure that we're doing them. We cultivate the fear of God, something we continue to cultivate. And I put it here, absolute honesty and submission. Absolute honesty. Not honesty that has shades. Absolute honesty, love and honor for God and oversight. Number two, prompt obedience to instruction. Very important. Instruction is life. And instruction is also light. If you don't obey instruction, you are in darkness. I didn't say it, the Bible did. Alright? You are in darkness. The Bible says that we should reprove the works of darkness. Alright? So the Bible says, awake thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. Don't be sleeping spiritually. Have revelation understanding, revelational knowledge. Practice it and see God growing in you. Amen. Of course, then we have to obey. These instructions are important, though. Praying with travail and tongues, confessing the word. In this case, Pauline prayers, general confessions are important. We're supposed to do them at least once a week. I won't ask how many of us are doing it once a week. I leave that to God and quickly repent on the inside. Amen. All right. Meditation on the word. Meditate on the love of God. Meditate on the glory of God. Spirit without measure. Something you meditate upon. And then meditate the word on particular areas in your heart where you know that, you know, like areas of contentment, areas of insecurity. Meditate the word and heal that heart. Amen. Amen. When you confess, you know, you release the power into the air. But when you meditate, that power is now goes into your heart. And the word is written on your heart. And it heals your heart. Amen. All right. Amen. And then, of course, fasting. Fasting humbles our soul. Psalm 35 verse 13. So it makes it easier for us to obey. And number three, the last one, is to watch your heart. Watch your thoughts. Like Pastor Wega was saying last week, you know what your heart is saying. If you look hard enough, you know what your heart is saying. Amen. Wash feet. Very important. And pray in tongues once every 6 hours and at every opportunity. Those things are important. They are all instructions. You do them and, as it were, you boost the power of God and the light of God, the intensity of the light working on the inside, so that by His grace, you know, we can enter into our inheritance. It's not enough to even have the borrowed anointing of the glory. The key is to enter into the fullness of our inheritance. Amen. Don't settle for borrowed anointing. Amen. Don't say, that is partial. It's limited in scope and measure. Amen. Let us go in for the broke. Go in for the fullness of Christ. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Give God all the praise. Father, we worship you. We just give you back all the honor and all the glory. Talk to Him. God loves you. He wants you to know that He loves you. He wants us to open our bowels and go deeper into the Word. Him. Don't leave any part out. Just say it. This one, this one, this one. I give it to you. All mine, they are thine. Give it to Him. Then ask Him to give you this spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, your life partner, your job, your work, whatever, He knows it. There is a will. Submit to it. It includes what you want. Don't hold on to your own. And then make that commitment. I'm going to pray. I'm going to obey instruction. Keep my heart. Watch and pray. Forgive. Ask life. Make your forgiveness so cheap. Forgive easily. Don't hold on to people. Release them. Loose them so you can be free. Godliness with contentment is great gain.